it made. Always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sean. How you doing today?
I'm okay. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Keep looking to the left for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay.
There's nothing over there.
No, but there's nothing. just your stuff.
Just my stuff. I was commenting a second ago how I look like twice as big as you, and this maybe I am. I don't know.
You're sitting in the middle, and I'm kind of like on the fringe.
It's kind of like
your office, so we kind of.
That's there. Yeah. We go. That's better.
Okay.
There we go. So, a little equalization of power.
That's right.
So we've had if anybody watching this YouTube will notice that we're still together.
Yeah.
We did our last podcast together in person. I mean, last week, went very well. I had a lot of good response to it. So I was happy with that because I was proud of it. We got a few things we're going to go do today. It'd be busy, but, we're here to do our 12th or 11th,
12th,
our number 12th.
12
dozen. Who would have thought? I was saying to my wife the other day, I said, you know, right now, like, you know, people keep journals and that, but right now there's like 120 hours. No, 12 hours of me talking about myself.
Yeah.
And if we keep doing this podcast, it'll be, you know, in the future, it'll be almost like a living recording of my life and my thoughts. I think it's kind of neat. So.
Well, in all fairness, we have to split that. So it's 12 hours of podcast, but I guess it's probably like 9.5 hours of you talking about yourself and 2.5 of me.
Oh, I got to pick up the pace then. I wanted more than that. Absolutely. Yes. You know what? Well,
okay.
Careful what you ask for.
No.
I'm not talking this week. I'm done. I'll be like a kid.
Oh. Okay. My turn.
All right. Definition time?
Well, no, I'm going to just say a couple more things here. I've been here. I've been out in Moncton visiting my great friend Sean here. We've been spending a lot of time together. You know, of course, we break off and do our own things, but it's been a great experience. We talk about a lot of things. It's funny. We talk a little bit about the podcast, but it always kind of comes up last minute. Like we right. touch on a few things a few days before, but. We really kind of made the decision just about an hour ago, but I just want to say that it's been great being out here. It's been, you know, Sean and his beautiful wife, Shonda, have been really accommodating, and it's just, you know, I'm incredibly grateful. And I think we, you know, gratitude is so important in life. It just allows me to reflect on the things that make me feel good, the things that are important to me. And it's been a journey the last little bit for sure. And I've been to some AA meetings. We've now had our second talk. Sean spoke yesterday at the University of New Brunswick Nursing College, which was wonderful. And, you know, they were so thankful, and, you know, it's almost like you feel bad being thanked for it, because it's really like, right. you just feel so grateful to be able to do it and to talk about your experience in the hope that it'll help others. And, I feel grateful. It's really amazing right now. I really feel like I'm living in the moment. Like I'm literally yes. like on the fly here. Like yeah. it's like one day at a time. And I'm just kind of really trying to appreciate every moment and every minute of every day and not get ahead of myself and just be in the moment. So
yeah. And Chris has been
super grateful.
We've been, I said it to Chris yesterday when I found out he was coming, I was, you know, I was happy, but you think, I don't know. I don't want to be in 3 days being like, oh, this guy's driving me crazy. I can't believe I do a podcast with him. But, you know, it hasn't been that way.
No.
I can't believe how comfortable it's been. Like, it's like he's been here forever. And it's no, and we don't, my wife in private, same thing. She said, Chris can stay forever. She couldn't care less. It's been so wonderful. Chris has made some new friends. He spoke at the University of New Brunswick last week, kind of set the bar for me. He did a great job. He came to Life Ring with me and really helped a guy last night, I believe. And he's a good cook. He's cooking his meals, so I mean, he better stop cooking his meals,
It's the least I
we
can
won't
do.
let him leave. And,
Right.
yeah, it's been great. It's
It
been
has.
great.
It's been really great.
My wife comments the happiest she's seen me for a while, and I think, yeah, a big part of it's because I like having Chris around, but I think a big part of it is I've gotten out of my own head, you
Yeah.
know, when I got someone else to talk to and I don't
Yeah.
isolate. And so it's been a learning, it's been a learning week. It's been great.
It's
It's
been
been
great. It's
great.
been
So
learning. Great for both of us, for sure.
but yeah, so we're on our podcast day.
Yeah.
Every time we talk, I'm always like, oh, we should be recording this. We should be recording this, you
Yeah.
know. But we've had some great conversations, which I think will ultimately lead to a better podcast, because you
Yeah.
know, we are both definitely on a, you know, I think everybody in life is, but we're on a bit of a journey of discovery right now, you know, trying to figure out who we are. And you and I are on different paths and different lives, but we're
Yeah.
still on the same path of trying to figure out what the future holds and what that means and what we can do to shape it, I think.
Yeah.
So
And I think, yeah, everyone's on a different path. We're all different, but I think the path that we're both on right now is to find, happiness and meaning and just really drill down. I think you can get caught up in life and just kind of be going through the motions. And I mentioned it in other podcasts, you can be a human being, a human doing and not a human being. And sometimes it takes things, tough things, to kind of have to take a second look and kind of, redefine yourself. If you're able to do it without struggle, that's amazing, because that self-reflection is really important. And so
But I don't know. Like
yeah.
they say, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So
Sometimes always darkest before the dawn.
geez, I don't look good this morning. I
You
am pale.
look great.
Holy cow.
We'll go to the beach later.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we're gonna move. I thought of something I wanted to say. Darn it, darn it. That's like, if I don't say it quick, man, it's gone.
Yeah,
All right.
write it down.
All right, we're gonna have this week, our topic, our theme this week is judgment.
It is. It
And
is.
Chris is going to give us our definition of judgment.
I am, and it came up in a conversation prior to Sean's presentation for the nursing college, because it was. Anyway, we'll touch on it later, but it was, we were some of the nurses were asking us, like, what as somebody who comes into a hospital, like, what would be really important? And so judgment kind of became one of the themes. So here we go. The definition for the word judgment: the process of forming an opinion or evaluation by discerning and comparing. That's the A part of it. And then B, an opinion or estimate so formed, the capacity for judging or discernment. Kind of a complicated one,
It
isn't
is. It
it?
is. I'm trying to take it in, and it's hard.
Yeah. Process of forming an opinion or evaluation by discerning or comparing.
What can you give me a definition of your own definition of discernment and discerning? Do you know what that
I
means?
think I actually a discerning. I'll look it up quickly, but I think it's the ability to make, yeah, it's the ability to judge well.
Oh.
Right? So
So.
I don't know who to.
Well, that kind of makes sense because you know what? Some people are better judges of character
Exactly.
than other people.
Exactly. Yeah. So discerning is the ability to judge well.
You know, that even goes to like legal judges because you'll see in like Law and Order, people say, well, how am I going to do? Well, it depends on which judge you get.
Yeah,
That's
yeah,
awful.
yeah.
Your future depends on which judge you happen to draw. That's scary.
Well, at least there's a set of rules and regulations there, so that kind of defines how
Right.
they do judge. But yeah, it is. Like, so that, I mean, this is the thing. Like, when you're judged, if you're not being judged by a discerning person, then you're not being judged well, are you?
Right. Right.
Right. And I went on to define the judgment of others meaning, because it's a little bit different, and it gets kind of more down to the root of what it is that we wanted to discuss today, and it is to express a bad opinion of someone's behavior, often because you think you are better than them. You have no right to judge other people because of what they look like or what they believe.
Wow.
Yeah, because you have a bad opinion of them and that you think you are better than them.
And I'm, as we're thinking about this right now, what a, it's the timing of this is in this day and age is so important because look at all the judgment has that's gone on the last few years, you know, people wearing masks and then other people saying you shouldn't wear masks and people
Yeah.
getting vaccines and judging people that didn't have vaccines. And even in our neighbors to the south, you know, that nation is so split right now. And
Yeah.
people are judging their politics. And I mean, I've never seen it like that. Just watching from afar, you know, there's a lot of judging going on right now. And it's not
Absolutely.
a good thing.
It is not. It is not.
And we know it as negative as a kid, even. You remember we always start saying, well, she looks down her nose at you. You know, we even as kids, we knew that there was kids looking down their nose at us.
Yeah, and it's this feeling of, you know, if I'm not doing anything wrong, then why are you judging me? Like, you
Right.
know, why, just because your opinion is different than mine doesn't mean that my opinion is wrong.
And I've taught in LifeRing, and who am I to teach anything? But I always tell people never judge people, even if they're mean to you, even if they're rotten to you or snap at you or cut you off, because you don't know what that person's going through that day.
Exactly.
It could be the worst day of their life.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. We make assumptions about how people should act based on how we want them to act towards us, but we have no idea what they're going through on a day-to-day
Right.
basis. It's always this, you know, there's lots of quotes, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, or could imagine, you know, walking a mile in their shoes. There are all these different references
Well,
to it.
Jesus said it. He let him who has a clean slate cast the first stone.
Exactly.
That
And
says it all.
who has a clean slate? No one
Nobody.
does. So, you know, we kind of brought this up, as I said, prior to the discussion with the nursing college, because they had asked us, you know, what was really important, and they were asking about some of the verbiage around how you should speak to someone when they come into a hospital. As an addict, because both Sean and I were speaking in front of them, me as an alcoholic and Sean as an opioid addicted person, and we really the big thing that we kind of tried to explain or tried to, you know, get them to understand was that the lack of judgment was one of the really important things. Like, and I referenced it in my presentation about when someone first called me an alcoholic, that the stigma, which we'll get on to too, the stigma around an alcoholic, you know, when I was a kid, it was like he was a rubby. He was like a bum on the street drinking out of a paper bag. And
Right.
God, I wasn't that. I mean, you know, I had an addiction to alcohol, but the stigmas and the way that people look at those, you know, even just that word, an alcoholic, is that the immediate association comes to mind. He's dirty, he's homeless, he's all these things. And it really, you know, we wanted them to understand that, you know, kind of personalizing the experiences as opposed to judging the experience. You know, if somebody comes in, they're in trouble, they're really looking for, you know, a lifeline, let's say. They're looking for
Help,
help, and they're, you know, just instead
kindness.
of focusing on them being an alcoholic, like, my name is Chris, I'm 55, I have a own my own company, you know, I you
Tons of
know,
friends,
it's
but
yeah. So it's kind of we wanted to talk a lot about judgment, and then we also did want to talk about stigma, because it ties directly into it, because
absolutely.
a stigma is basically defined as a set of negative beliefs.
Right. So that's
So
almost, I find that, I think that's almost like a societal judgment. Like it's almost like all of society has that same belief. I said to one of the great nurse students yesterday, she asked me the same question Chris is talking about. And she said, like, I don't know what to do. I'm not trained in this. And I said, yes, you are. You're just trained. All you have to do is be kind. Just hold out your hand. Tell me it's going to be okay. Tell me you're going to help me get through this. Tell me it's because I say to me, I laugh, but I say it to both of my granddoggies. I say it to mine every morning. I look at her because she's feeling bad these days, and I tell her it's going to be okay. I just start the morning saying, "We're going to be okay, buddy. We're going to be okay."
Yeah.
And I, you know what, I'm talking to her and me. I'm just trying to make her feel a little bit better. And I don't know, this judging thing. I find the one thing I will be thankful of my addiction is the groups I've gone to and the help I've gotten, how much has helped me not judge people anymore. I used to
Absolutely.
judge everybody, and now
Absolutely.
I don't. When I see a homeless person, I have nothing but empathy there, but the grace of God go I. Like, I mean, I, and it's an, do you find like the rooms are equalizers? Because you could be a prominent lawyer, and you can be a guy that's living on the street, and you walk in the rooms that are for, we're all equal.
Yeah.
We're
because,
all just addicts.
Yeah, because it all comes down to what you've experienced through your addiction and,
right.
And you know, what got you there. And I've said it a number of times, I think on the podcast, but definitely in my everyday life, that when you go to an AA meeting or you go to a GA or an NA or a CA or a, you know, any of them, any addictions, there's very little judgment. There's always going to be a few people that judge a bit, but they all get it. They understand. So, you know,
and you can say almost anything and
yeah.
they go, it's okay. I've
yeah.
been there. I've done worse. I've done that, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of just hovered over stigma definition, but it is a set of negative and unfair beliefs that a society, as you mentioned, or group of people have about something. So you could almost, I don't know. I probably should get the thesaurus out and figure out what the opposite of stigma is, but you know, it is a lack of judgment, I guess, because if you spin it in the other direction, you know, it's not negative and it's not an unfair belief. It's an understanding that a society, a group of people have when you go into those rooms. Like it's exactly that. It no longer becomes a stigma because they agree and they understand and there is no judgment.
Mm.
And that is,
that's powerful.
Yeah, that's a wonderful feeling because
yeah.
you, when you're in it and you're in this terrible place, you do a lot of self-judging, even like you're
oh.
in this such a negative place that when you're able to come out of it and to get sober and realize that people understand the plight that you were in, you're like, you know, it's like, oh God, I'm not alone anymore. And we know that alcoholism, addiction, these things, they drive people into a place of like solitary confinement. You might as well be in jail because you're isolating, you're in your head, you've got all these negative beliefs. And
I think that's why so many of us that get help from groups or doctors or whatever,
yeah.
we start giving back and wanting to give back because it meant so much to us.
Absolutely.
I discussed it yesterday when I went to Cameron Street when I was, you know, I was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go into the details. This isn't about addiction today, but I just remember this lady that worked there. It was supposed to be a couple of days before I could get help, and she took mercy on me and she went over and above and helped me that day. And I've never forgotten. Her name's Laura. She's
yeah.
an angel. And she retired a couple of years ago. And I had her in tears because I knew she was retiring. And I went over to her and told her, I said that I'll never forget her because she saved my life. And she started crying.
Yeah.
I don't think she even realized the impact she had on me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And that goes back to what we told that nurse yesterday. It's just kindness. It just needs a little kindness. We're all just human beings. And I told that nurse yesterday, when you're looking down at this person with an addiction,
mm-hmm.
I said to her, like when my sister's defended me in the past and helped me, she said, that's my brother. He's a father. He's a good man.
Yeah.
You look at that person and think that, pretend that's your brother or your son or your father. Like pretend
yeah.
it's, remember there's people that care about this person, just like you care about the people in your life. And that's how they have to be treated.
Absolutely.
And I think if you can do that, you pretty much got her knocked, man. I think you got her, pretty much got her knocked.
And it ties back to our podcast last week where we talked about love and how the world would be if everyone loves each other. You know,
no.
If there was no judgment, if there was no stigma, I mean, this is a big ask, but it, you know, having these conversations, even on a low level, on a day-to-day level, if we, by doing this podcast, somebody now talks about it, it begins to erode, you know, the structure that judgment has in society, and it begins to erode the stigmas. And you know, we talk a little bit before the podcast. We try not to get into too much because we like it to be sort of free flowing and organic. But Things change. They change incrementally over time. And we were talking about social conformities and various things that in society were accepted at times. Like, I mean, when you and I were kids, you went to the hospital, your doctor could come in having a cigarette, like while you're
Absolutely.
laying in bed, right?
Absolutely.
You
My doctor
smoked on
smoked.
planes, you smoked in restaurants, and it was glorified on TV, smoking, as well as drinking, right? Drinking was too. It was like, oh wow, look at that cool guy or woman holding a martini. It
We used
was
to
like
smoke
you
Popeye
it
cigarettes
was
as kids,
idolized. Yeah, idolized. Of course, whoever started the Popeye cigarette company was like, oh, I can let's
right.
get them. We're going early, right?
And as kids, we wanted to be like our dads, and we thought that was manhood, like drinking and smoking. That's why so many people smoked at young ages, because it was like, Quebec kids. I read a story about this. I think it was about the health. Doesn't matter, but it was about a Quebec family, and he started smoking at home when he was 12. With his parents. It was like something, oh, you're old enough. And it was like, oh, you're 12 now, you can start smoking. They give him a cigarette. Like, imagine how things have changed.
Well, and thank God that they have. Obviously, we all know the detrimental effects of smoking and but the other things that we, even I made a few lists, like promiscuity at one point, like in the 60s, it was like, free love, like everybody, like it was like it was just it was like, okay, let's just test the boundaries until eventually people were like, okay, no, we can't do this. Even LGBTQ community, like that didn't even become a thing. I mean, years ago, if you were homosexual, if you were gay, like you were shunned in society. You just because
Just for being you.
Just because you didn't weren't conforming to the vast majority of society that said it has to be a man and a woman. And thankfully, with conversation, with awareness, with acceptance, with lack of judgment and with lack of stigma, these things
Education.
change and people are just allowed to be. And
No, racism is the worst one, right? Because
of course.
You were treated differently because of the color of your skin, or because of you were an Aboriginal or First Nation, excuse me, whatever. But I've said this to my wife, and I just thought about this. I said, you imagine being treated poorly and judged just for being you.
Just for having different colored skin.
I am a white, straight man in North America. I am at the top of having the easiest life, like of just moving forward.
We
But
know.
just to be that person is just being them.
Of
If they're
course.
gay, if they're black, if they're whatever, trans, they're just them, and they're being stigmatized and punished and abused just for, I can't imagine. I've never been treated badly just for being what I am. I'm
No,
not
and
me.
that's the that I mean,
Not
you
me.
know
I've been
that.
judged for things I've done, for being overweight, for things, but not just for being me.
And that's
Scary.
the privilege, of course, that's that we should, have some humility about, because
Absolutely.
we're just fucking lucky, frankly, that we ever white
Absolutely.
male. I mean it, lucky,
Born in a free
but
country.
also, yeah, I mean, we're aware.
That's luck.
Yeah, it's just random luck. I mean, look, slavery has been abolished in the US for 80 plus years, but the stigmas around it are still there every
Absolutely.
day.
There's
I
so
mean,
much
it's
more work to
not,
be done.
there's so much to be done, and
And there's still slavery in the world today.
of course, yeah. I mean, we were going to
Today.
touch on morality here too, and I think over the last number of decades, there starts to become that there have been a lot of moral questions raised around all these products coming from China and how they're being produced. I mean, we all know that people started questioning child labor, and so child labor laws started to enter, and th different things started to happen. But yeah, I mean, it still exists.
I
There's
got in trouble at a furniture show one time, and I won't say anything, of course. They were a good company and they were good people, but they started getting everything built overseas. And it was bothering me because I believed in being just built in Canada for those reasons Chris just said it. And I said in a meeting once, I said, oh yeah, we're getting it made overseas and passing the slavings on to you. That did not go over well.
No,
I
I
should have kept
mean,
my mouth shut. But you know what? I'm glad I said it. I meant what I said. It didn't feel good.
It's not always easy to be in a forum where you want to be part of the group, but you have a moral dilemma and you feel like I need to say something here, because it's easy to just stand back and go, ha 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 ha. It's hard to be in the minority. You know, this is exactly what we're talking about. When the majority is one thing, and 90% of people are saying one thing, and you don't believe that because it's become this kind of judgment and this stigma, which is negative, all these things in society, and you're in that 10%. That's
It's
not an easy
scary.
place. It's
And
scary because you're going to create conflict. You're
I know in my life, many times I did not stand up and say the right thing or do the right thing out of fear, and not necessarily fear of like violence or anything, but fear of not being accepted, or one of the guys, or one of the cool kids, or one of the,
absolutely.
like it's hard. You want to be, but really want to give praise to the people that do stand up and say that. And that includes the big ones, like when Hitler was running rampage and he took over Europe. It took Winston Churchill and other people to stand up and go, no, and it was not easy. And there's hero upon hero upon hero that sacrificed every people. And believe me, this is coming from an uneducated man, doesn't know anything about it, but I've seen movies and read books, like the people that were hiding Jewish families at the risk of their own life. But that's someone who says, I have to do the right thing, no matter what.
Well, in you saying that, you come to this realization that, if you're amongst the masses, you're kind of just walking that easy road. Whereas if you're taking a stand, you're walking that tough road. I mean, a lot, I know, these movements of change, they create heroes. I mean, Martin Luther King, of course, a
Absolutely.
hero. He took a stand. He risked his life.
Nelson Mandela.
And it's when you realize, when you're doing something that everyone else is doing, you kind of all of a sudden realize there might be something wrong with this.
Well, there's this song by Aaron Tippin that I loved. It's basically, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And that's the truth. You can't just, you got to use your own head and really think about it and what you think about it, not just because everyone thinks that way. And sometimes it's hard to go against the grain and swim against the current, but I haven't done it enough in my life. I sometimes complain that I don't know who I am. And I mean that. I don't know who I'm 54 years old, and I don't know who I am because, I was driving a Harley because my dad was driving a Harley, and I was smoking weed because my friends were smoking weed, and I thought it was cool to do this, so I did that. And I never really took the time to figure out who I really wanted to be. And I regret that. I regret it. But it's not too late. I can still
No,
figure
it's
it out.
not.
I
It's
can still
not.
figure it
It
out.
takes self-reflection. It takes morality too, and I think morality is it's an inherent part of everyone. And I wrote down the definition because I felt like it was important to sort of tie it in here. And it's principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong, or good and bad behavior. And I think we can get caught up in seeing bad behavior, and it's sort of like it's accepted by people, and you kind of just go along with it until you can't anymore.
Yeah, and have you ever gone? I've gone to bed many times and thought about how I acted someday and thought I was so ashamed of myself. But I've never gone to bed feeling bad about doing a good thing, or
No,
making the right
no,
decision.
no.
And I know there's been all kinds of like studies that university kids do where like they'll show someone, they'll pretend a girl's getting attacked on the street and see who helps,
Yeah.
or someone lying in the street hurt, begging for help, bleeding, and people just walk by.
Yeah.
Don't want to get involved because it's hard. And you know what? The moral thing is to get involved, to
Yeah.
help, no
Yeah.
matter a fear, even if it's at the risk of your own safety. Like,
Yeah.
it's hard.
We talked about 9/11 the other day, and we talked about the group of people on the plane. I forget the number, but
Yeah.
there was a number to it that basically stepped up and attack the hijackers that were trying to fly the plane
Yeah,
again.
and they knew they were going to crash and they died,
Yeah.
but there was phone calls from that flight, and they were worried about their fellow citizens, their families. They were not going to let it happen, you know. And if more, and I'm not judging, I don't know the situation, but if people had maybe done that, maybe the planes wouldn't have hit. I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, I'm sure those people were scared. I'm not judging
Yeah,
anybody,
of course not.
but it's just to do the it's doing the right thing. It can be hard. It can be
It can
hard.
at times. It's even on a, I was just thinking, like on a small note, like when, you know, when we were younger and somebody would tell a joke that you clearly found offensive, but you would kind of chuckle and you would laugh at them,
Absolutely.
you know, and it's like, and then but you would, you know, inherently as human beings, we know after the fact that oh, wait, that was wrong. That was wrong. Right?
Oh,
You get this like caution.
I remember seeing kids in my school that were, you know, picked on. Like they were isolated because there was something weird about them, you know. Could have been their weight, could have been like a little bit of a deformity, or just they were dirty because they were poor. And they would get picked on. I didn't pick on kids, but I didn't step up on it either. You know, I didn't want people to think, oh, Sean's friends with the dirty kid, or Sean's like, and there's an old saying, and I won't say it right, but who is worse, the man that does something or the man that stands by and lets it happen? You know, like I don't know. I don't know.
I think standing by and letting happen is a lot worse. I think
I
that's
think
really
so
what we're
too.
talking about. And you know, we touched a little bit on LGBTQ, and we're touching a little bit on addictions and, you know, eating disorders and different things. And you know, I've been to a number of meetings. I do go to one fairly regularly. That's an LGBTQ issue. And of course, all these things, like you said earlier, they're just trying to be themselves, and yet they're being criticized. They're being judged by not even just outsiders. That happens within their family. Their parents don't want to deal with it. Their friends don't want, you know, and
Their parents. Think about
how,
that.
and it causes trauma and it leads to addiction. And then on top of that, we're not just judging them you know, for their sexual preferences, but now we're judging them because they've become an addict on top of it. But it one has caught led to the
Right.
other.
We've driven you to do it, and now we're mad about it.
Right. And my God, just to not be able to be who you want to be because of societal
It literally breaks my
ideals,
heart.
it's really, really troubling. And it leads to anxiety, stress, addiction, suicidal thoughts, all the things that we talked about, just because they're trying to be themselves. That is a
And you said it earlier, thank God there has been a lot of growth, and there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of wins in these and some of these things, and things have gotten a lot better. There's so much more to do. And I'm part of that. I'm in my 50s, you know, and I grew up saying things I shouldn't have said, you know, and being I would use homophobic words to run somebody down. I mean, I thought, you know, or we would say something racist and not even really think about it because that's how we were brought up saying it. I wasn't a racist kid. It was something that was everyone said, you know. But I realized my kids have helped me with this. They'll check me on stuff. And it's like, and they understand. I'm not trying to be. It's just I'm trying to catch up
It's
and trying to
ingrained.
be
It's
better. Like
ingrained.
I've had to change the way I was brought up. Not that I was brought up badly, but you know what I mean. It's the society. We were all like that. And every generation, it gets better. I mean, you know, we like to sit back today and say, you know what? I can't believe people own slaves in North America. I would never do that. I can't say that. If it's 300 years ago and everybody that I knew had owned slaves and I was brought up in a family that owned slaves, I don't know. How can I make that statement? I can't even think about any of that. I
I'm glad
can't.
I don't have to, frankly.
Oh my gosh. And thank God back then there were people that started standing up. Black people and white people, and they
Well,
started standing up and saying, I'm not doing this.
yeah, and to your point, and you know, in high school or even in public school, like, you know, if you weren't kind of being man enough or whatever, yeah, people would say, oh, you're gay, or
I know.
you're a girl, or, you know, like,
And I was
it
so
was like
scared of
so
that.
demeaning, like. So thankfully, as we know, things do change incrementally, and again, we're trying to advocate for those things. We're trying to talk about these things, create open dialogue about these things.
And it's like when I started the support group Life Ring I run, all I want to do in our little podcast that we're enjoying doing for ourselves, but you know what? If somebody listens to one episode and it might save their life or help them change even or think different or treat someone different, then that's a success. One person. If I can affect one person for the better. And I know I'm affecting myself for the better. I know you're being affected for the better. So that's two we know for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
it's worth it already.
It's
worth it already.
And I got home yesterday. I went to a meeting. Great group here in Moncton. Shout out to that group. 59 years in the making. A lot of sobriety in that room. And I was the new guy. Of course, they all know, oh, we got some young, some
fresh
blood,
meat.
Fresh meat. And so they asked me to do this, the speaking from the book. And anyone who's in AA knows the pages 416 and 417. And it's all about acceptance. It's acceptance of who we are, where we are in life, acceptance of our past, acceptance of people, places, and things. And this is exactly what we're trying to, you know, advocate for here today, that we have to accept the things that we don't have to. We should accept the things, even if we don't understand them.
Right. Right.
You know,
it's not our job to understand it.
It's not.
But it's our job to accept it.
People, places, and things. If we can accept all these things, you know, outside of us, then we can begin to accept who we are. We can begin to accept ourselves for all the things that we've done, good and bad. And living in the place of acceptance, it's freeing.
Absolutely.
You're free when you don't have to judge, when you don't have to, we don't believe in these stigmas and these negative beliefs, and you just open your mind to just appreciate that we're all different. You know, no one's expecting you to be like me. Just, you know, be yourself. But of course, you kind of have to temper that with being yourself within a reasonable moral code.
Right.
And so,
but this is such a complicated subject, because it gets like, let's go. And this isn't about racism this morning, but anyway, I'm going back to it. But you imagine you see somebody that's being racist and treating somebody else horribly. Okay. But then it gets so complicated. You almost have to maybe have empathy for the person that's doing the act, because they were brought up by a racist father who beat it into them. That's how they had to treat people like that. And they can't go home and they're scared and they're dealing with their trauma. And then it's just a whole circle of trauma. We talked about it not long ago about these people you know, somebody murders their kid or something like that, and they go to, and they forgive them, become friends with them in prison and help them come out of prison. I mean, and my mind's like, I couldn't do that. Like, but that is the ultimate. I don't even know how to describe it.
I mean, if they don't accept and forgive, the flip side of that is that they're just going to live in hatred and anger. So what's going to be the benefit of that?
I've lived there a long time. I know what it's like. It's
right.
not good.
So
a lot of times when you forgive somebody, it's for you, not them.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to forgive certain things. Of course, as a society, even looking back in our past, it's hard to imagine how to justify and forgive those things. But that is what 416 and 417 in the book. It's acceptance. You accept, you forgive. You don't have to forget. But you forgive,
right?
Because otherwise it's just you're carrying that pain, that anger, that fear, that all that with you. And that's going to benefit no one, because you're going to then pass that on to people around you. If you're living in that hatred, people are going to see it. You're going to start hating. You're going to hate yourself. You're going to do all these cycles. But there's a couple things just, you know, we're moving along here. I wanted to touch on a few times where we had felt judged. So maybe we do that at this point. There's something else I want to talk about, but we can kind of wrap up with that. But
Yeah, go ahead.
yeah.
Floor's yours.
Judgment, I mean, yeah, of course we've all felt judged. And I think the other thing that we wanted to kind of tie into this, like with stigmas, but also peer pressure, you know, peer, and peer pressure ties into what we were just talking about, you know, wanting to be part of the group, right? Not wanting to be an outcast. You know, I felt peer pressure. I felt a lot of peer pressure, and at the end, toward the end of high school, even from my parents, the things that I should be doing, going to school, and I didn't know what I wanted, but I went anyway, and it was just kind of, it was really just kind of a waste of time, sort of. I mean, I guess nothing in my past is really a waste of time, but then I also felt peer pressure around getting married. Even, you know, it's like, oh, you get married at a certain age, you have kids, and it's like society kind of demands that you do these things. And I'm not saying I didn't love my first wife, but I felt pressure to find a what, like find a wife. Okay, it's time. I'm 30. You know, I need to get going. And then, you know, along with peer pressure and judgment, just like touching on judgment and even self-judgment. We were talking about it this morning. We were kind of joking because we were talking about George Thorogood songs, and I Drink Alone. And I remember the first time I drank alone. It was after my marriage had broken up, and I was, you know, about 37 or something. I'm not saying I hadn't had a beer
Yeah, after
in
one
the
person,
bathroom
yeah.
on the way to like a party, or, you know, while I was getting ready to go. But it wasn't like in an antisocial way. But I remember in that moment thinking, oh, this is bad. I'm
Right.
drinking. It was more about drinking to get drunk, but I was by myself.
So you were killing pain, is what you were doing.
And then as I carried on, and then in the last few years, the judgment from others. And I mean, look, I was lucky. I had a group of people that came to me in a loving way. They were my family, they were my friends, and they were generally concerned about where I was in my alcohol career, let's say. And it was in a bad place, no question. But immediately I felt judged. You know, a couple of them did know what I was going through, and they understood because they were also alcoholics. And what happens for me when I get judged is I get defensive.
Right.
Who are you to
It's
judge me?
a
Who are
normal
you to,
reaction.
yeah, I think it is. It's not it, it the best of me doesn't come out all the time in that, because I do. I get my back up, and I get like, you know, because I think most people, when they feel judged, or I'll just speak from, you know, my own perspective, is that I feel like you're tearing down my character. You're tearing down who I am. But the reality is that wasn't who I was.
Right.
And I'm gonna give a shout out to my niece.
Mm.
Had a wonderful conversation with my
She deserves it.
wise beyond her early years niece, Clarissa Crocombe, this week, and
Clarissa.
Clarissa. And you know, she pointed out, and this can happen in early recovery as addicts, that we really define ourselves as addicts. And there's still a lot of like self-loathing in that, because it's hard to say you're an alcoholic. It is, because of the stigmas. Again,
Right.
we're just tying this all together. So
Stigmas against yourself at that
yeah,
point.
and what, you know, what she pointed out, and it's so true, is that, I'm a 55-year-old man. I've been married twice. I'm a stepfather. I'm a brother. I'm a son. I'm a friend. I'm a landscaper. I'm a golfer. I love camping, hiking, traveling. Like, there's a lot of things that should really come ahead of, I'm an alcoholic.
Absolutely.
I have had alcohol problems, and clearly, those things have resulted in a determination that I have alcoholism, which is a disease. It is something that my body chemistry is different from someone who doesn't have alcoholism. But it's, you know, it's interesting how this process happens, and how, when we are judged and when we then have an opportunity to self-reflect and sort of look and communicate and do all these things, get rid of these stigmas and these negative beliefs, it gives us an opportunity to reflect and focus on, what it is that we are. And through that, a better understanding occurs, just as we have done in society with, with understanding of other cultures, understanding of other sexual preferences, all these things. It just becomes an acceptance of the fact that judgment, stigma, all these things, they're not beneficial. They're just not beneficial to society.
And you're, and it's not your fault you're an alcoholic. It's just not.
I don't think so either.
It's not. No, it's not. Yeah. It's just not. So again, just like being judged for the color of your skin or your sexual preference, why should you be judged because you're an alcoholic?
Right.
We used to talk about it, that there's yourself and there's your addicted self. And it's two different people.
Yeah. I really had become that.
I did things under when I was using that I would never do.
No.
It was like watching somebody else. I can't believe I did it. It's not Sean Pauly. It's not who I am. It's not what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Not how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to judge me on my worst moment, mm-hmm. well, yeah, you're going to judge me.
Yeah.
But I hope you judge me on my best moments,
Yeah.
Addiction, I mean, the government website says this. It's a sickness. It's an illness. It's some people can take what I take and never take another one, and they hate it,
Yeah.
Other people... whatever.
Yeah.
It's just addiction is a I get addicted to almost everything I try. My wife always says, could you just get addicted to something positive, please? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, being judged is a terrible feeling. And I've been thinking about it. I hated when people judge me.
Yeah.
And now I'm mad at myself because I've judged other people. And mm-hmm. I still do it to this day. It's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to at least catch myself now
mm-hmm.
when I start thinking something negative, I go, hold on a second.
Yeah.
One day there was a guy that, I don't know for sure, but I think that we have a lot of new immigrants in our city and he cut me off. And my first thought was not a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, these immigrants that are coming, they don't have a drive. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
How about some empathy?
Yeah.
He might be new to this country, new
hasn't
to our
been
driving
on the street,
laws.
Doesn't know how to get. We talked about how Moncton, the roads here are just bonkers.
Bonkers.
Like,
he's confused.
All over
he's scared. He's trying to figure out where he's going.
For
he's probably got a new job, new
For
home.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, what this person's been through.
Yeah.
I mean, I made a friend a few years ago down in Halifax, and she was from Iran. She came over here when she was a teenager by herself to make a life for herself.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
Kudos. Way to
like,
go. Huh? I mean,
but the strength and courage it took to do that.
Yeah.
And you're coming from a country that because of all the wars we've had, that you will get judged because, we think of the bad
because of the
things
color of her skin.
Right.
What she dresses, how she dresses.
Because of the Ayatollah did terrible things.
Yeah.
I mean, and this girl is an absolute sweetheart, beautiful person.
Yeah.
And this is just her because I know her. But
yeah.
I've been trying to really, instead of saying something almost pseudo racist or critical or judgmental of the people new to our country and that I'm trying to like, why don't you reach out a hand, just like I talked about a nurse, and try to help them.
I mean,
give them some guidance, maybe make friends with them, whatever.
What kind of a world would it be if you walked out the door and everybody was wearing the exact same shirt as you, they looked exactly like you, they did exactly the same things as you, you'd be like, oh my God, what, I'm in a nightmare.
It'd be a handsome world, but
thank
it would be
God.
A nightmare.
Yeah. Thank God we celebrate the fact that no one is the same.
Thank goodness.
I could go out on the street today and somebody would be like, oh, look at that pink shirt that guy's wearing. Well, like, what is he, gay or something? And
absolutely.
It's just a shirt. Like, I like it.
I like it too.
And it's like celebration of the fact that everyone on this earth is completely different. We are, I mean, look, we have similar, like, who knows? Some people like Converse shoes and some people like wearing jeans, whatever. But it's just this, I think, again, we're just trying to advocate for acceptance, non-judgmental behavior.
And I dealt with, and I can't say too much because if I say too much, some don't know what I'm talking about. But I dealt with a situation where I know a person that couldn't be themselves because of their parents and that. I mean, and now is living a life that is not true to themselves,
Right.
causing, and it
Yeah,
breaks my heart.
it
It's
does.
not my spot to say
Absolutely.
anything, but
Yeah.
it breaks my heart. I would like to, and I don't know what your thoughts are. We want to do some specifics of stuff that we've been judged on or judged, or we want to just kind of keep it kind of general.
I mean, I think I touched on a couple of them for me. If you want to, go ahead.
No, I
I don't
don't.
know any off the top of my
Well,
head. I hadn't thought about that,
I'm
but
going to talk about a couple that I dealt with over the years, and I think once you've been judged with something, it's a lot easier not to be judgmental because you know what it feels like. This one I'm going to be based on being overweight. When I was a kid, they called me Daddy Long Legs, and I was scrawny. I couldn't gain weight. And my grandmother always said, I always got a hollow leg because I could eat anything I wanted. And my sister, you know, she always struggled. Poor thing, she was always on diets, and she shouldn't have. She was so beautiful. And then I started to gain weight a little bit in my late high school years, and then I got married and was a dad when I was 19. I went on the road traveling. I was eating McDonald's every day, sitting to the drive-throughs, and I stopped smoking because my wife, you know, asked me to, which was good. And in a year, I gained 100 pounds. A year. I mean, stretch marks started growing. Nothing fit me. I was wearing sweatpants because back then there wasn't any Mr. Big and Tall stores. There was no place to buy clothing in Moncton, right? And I touched on this last week. I stopped going to events. I stopped seeing friends. I isolated because I was so ashamed of myself. I'm not saying the people that love me ever said anything. You know, my friends didn't go, "Oh, you're fat, you're that." But I felt it. I felt judged. And then everywhere I went, I got this, "Hey, big guy. Hey, big guy. Hey, big guy. Big guy." I'm like, "What the f who is big guy? You know my name is Sean. Could you just call me Sean? You know, I don't call you gray-haired or baldy or shorty. Like, it's just stop with the big guy. It's not a term of affection. It makes me feel shitty." And then I would get the odd person who would always say they were worried about me, but they were pretty nasty, you know, like. And it was just a horrible way to live. And I know a couple things were said by two different bosses at furniture shows, said things that made me feel horrible. And then I remembered when I was a kid, we had one, you know, weight gain. It's a bit of a epidemic right now, especially in young people. But back when I was a kid, it wasn't. And we had like one or two kids that were overweight in school. And one of them, his life was hell. I mean, he was identified as being the fat kid.
Of
And
course.
that's all people called him. It was a joke. And his in gym class. And teachers said no, like y'all had to change in front of everybody. And it was his life was hell. And I went from being scrawny to being overweight. And then I basically shut myself off from my life for 20 years. I went out when I had to go out. Like, I didn't want to see anybody. For old friends I would love to see would call me, and I'm like, I can't, you know. And I always make up an excuse because I was ashamed of myself. And the stigma put on people that are overweight is unbelievable. It's really, really bad.
I'll touch on that on a couple of levels because there are obviously people that do have metabolism issues.
For
There
sure.
are re there can be reasons, of course, why that happens. And I think that again, different body types has obviously become much more accepted. There have been heavier women on the cover of swimsuit.
Victoria's Secret,
Yeah,
Sports Illustrated, you name it.
and th th this is obviously a good thing because we're acknowledging the fact that just because you're heavy doesn't mean you're not beautiful, and that is a wonderful thing to be doing. But at the same time, I mean, I know that North Americans, for example, have the highest obesity rate in the world, right? It doesn't happen. I told you they did this study about Japanese kids versus North American kids, and they put, I think it was three different foods on the list. Top three, it was like broccoli, rice, and cereal or something. And in Japan, like 92% said, well, the kids said broccoli was their number one. And in the US, it was cereal, of course, right?
Of course.
And so we know as a society, and we read it, and I'm going to touch on it again. We read it in the self-love, how do you define self-love? We know that there are opportunities to not eat very healthily, and oftentimes that is what is going to cause weight gain. We do, and it's easy. It tends to be cheap, and you know, big business. They've allowed these things to occur because people don't have all the
Why?
money. Because I mean, we go to the grocery store these days. Food is incredibly expensive to eat as a, like a vegan or something, and eat
Oh.
or it's incredibly expensive. It's way easier to go and buy a frozen pizza than it is to
And
go.
moms are working nowadays. They're not home cooking. They haven't got time to do it.
But it is, and I mean, people that are around you that love you and that care about you, they're not going to judge you for your weight, but they may very well be concerned because, again, it's self-love is a state of appreciation for oneself that grows from actions that support our physical, psychological, and spiritual growth. So we all know that good nutrition and exercise are a cornerstone to feeling well, to loving yourself. But again, Food and Drug Administrations decide that this is healthy, this is okay, cereal, and it's like,
The food
unless,
rules.
yeah, it's like, and this is again an ever-evolving thing. But I can tell you right now, like, I'm thin right now, right? I am, like, and so it's not even just like if you're heavy, if you're thin.
Yes,
I went to the pub.
absolutely.
I hadn't seen this guy in a while, and the last time I saw him, I was in active addiction. I was bloated. I was swollen. I probably weighed like 195 pounds. Then I get sober. I start eating better. I'm exercising more, and now all of a sudden, he's like, "What are you, anorexic?" And I'm like, "Are you fuck like anorexia? Like, have you seen someone who's anorexic? Like, I'm fit. This is
Right.
called fit. Like, I'm not saying I couldn't be more muscular or whatever. I don't love lifting weights, but." So
No,
there's two sides of the scale, and it's
right.
like what everyone has to be in this perfect like form. Like, who is that? Who that's only created by society on Instagram, and like that's not real. There's nothing real about that. We're all different.
Right. There's like
So,
every woman's supposed to be Katy Perry, and every man's supposed to be Brad Pitt. I mean, like, what? Give me a break.
ridiculous.
And you're right. I got down to, believe, I weigh 250 right now. I want to lose 20 pounds, 25 maybe. But I was down to 230 at one point. And people were literally calling Sean, like, is Sean okay? Is he dying? Is he sick? What's wrong?
So you
Like,
lost
so
weight and now
you've
you're
been living
sick.
weight my whole life and now I'm sick? Like,
You can't win.
but to touch on Chris's
Oh
point, I
my
did
God.
get stigmatized, and no one stigmatized himself more than me. So that's like self
Sure.
judgment because I hated
Self-loathing,
myself
of
so
course,
bad.
yeah.
Couple things I want to touch on that though. I had my wonderful wife never made me feel bad. She'd always loved me at my heaviest. She never looked at me and said, I don't want to have sex with you. I don't want to be your mate. I don't want to hold your hand. I'm not scared to go in public with you. Not once does she make me feel bad. So that's love. She loved me. But the other side of that is not only was it I didn't feel good about myself, I've caused myself a whole slew of health problems. I've had three strokes, five operations. I can't walk right. I'll never walk right again. I don't feel good for a lot of reasons. So it's a man, it's a
But
guess what? Another complicated issue. Who
again,
knows?
you didn't do it because you loved yourself. You did it because you were had trauma. You
Right, I
had
was eating.
stresses. You had things, and these are all the triggers that lead to the behaviors, right? These are all the things that lead to the bad behaviors. But it almost gets accentuated or magnified or you know, because people all of a sudden now on top of it, you're being judged for
Right,
it.
right.
Like you're being criticized almost because you've had traumas and now you're eating too much. Like it's like vicious cycle where it's like it just creates a, you know, a shitstorm of negativity and self-loathing and you
Goes,
know.
but it goes back to what we were talking about today, is kindness, not being judgmental. Just looking at a person saying, this isn't an overweight person. This is a person. They're not happy with being overweight. It's like I told you yesterday, people will say addicts, you know, they'll get clean when they want to get clean. I'm like, nobody wants to be an addict.
No. What
Nobody.
they want is to mask the pain and suffering that they're
Right.
experiencing
Right.
through alcohol.
And even when
They
they
don't
took.
want to be drunk and feel like shit and all the other things and isolate and ruin
No.
relationships. Nobody's going into it going, oh, that's what I want to do.
Even when
Nobody.
you've, yeah, even when you, and even on top of that, when you took your first drink to kill some pain, right? Even then, you didn't say, okay, well, what I really want to do is start drinking Malone because I want to be an alcoholic. I really do.
Obviously not.
I want to destroy my finances and my life.
No.
And yeah,
It wasn't
right.
even a thought. I mean,
Come
when
on.
it started, it was fun. actually, until
Absolutely.
it wasn't fun, but
I said about my addiction too. It was great for a few years.
yeah,
You know, it was
kind
fine. It
of it
was,
filled a void that you
yeah.
know, and that's and food does that
Food does the
too, and
same thing.
gambling does that too, and alcohol does that
That
too, and sex and
porn, it's
other kinds of
everything.
stuff. So, yeah.
Man. Man, I'll tell you one thing that I figured out from all these podcasts. What really matters is this, is discussion.
Yeah.
We have to keep communicating, keep the lines open, keep learning, keep growing,
Yeah.
you know, try to educate people, try to learn every day, try to teach every day. Like
Yeah.
it's important.
And we talked about the gifts of speaking at these couple of events.
Oh, I'd like to do it every
It's just
week.
I would too. And who knows, maybe we will. I feel like I'm leaning towards something like that. Anyway,
Absolutely.
but we also talked about it last night, even just we had the Life Ring meeting. You know, it was Sean and I and another guy, and we talked about just the importance of communication and community. You know, this isolation, it really started in COVID. It kind of it's never quite recovered, and it's not constructive.
No.
Not constructive. Like you
We
need to be out in the world, and you need to be out there and meeting
we
people.
need a community. We need people.
Yeah.
I've talked about it with you before. You're born, a human being doesn't survive
Yeah.
without other human beings.
No.
We need our moms.
Yeah.
We need people to help their moms. We need our dads. We need some, well, whatever. We need somebody making money so we can have food. We need our mother fit changing our clothes, or our dad and our diapers. And we don't survive. If you just put a baby and say, okay, this baby's born,
Yeah, that's it.
maybe a baby deer can do that, or maybe other animals can, but we can't. And
No.
I think that starts out as a baby, obviously, but I think a 54-year-old man, 54-year-old man is the same as that creature. I need people.
Yeah,
I
no
don't
question.
survive on my own. I
No
just
question.
don't. So, and I think people end up alone. A lot of them end up as addicts because the pain of being alone.
We also need good people though, right? We need to
Absolutely.
like make sure
Good
that
point.
in that and this is part of the process of coming out of addiction, that oftentimes we have some people that are around us that aren't really that good. They're not good for us. And we need, it's like a snake. You need to shed your skin and you need to change. I read the closing arguments, the closing statement for the Life Ring last night. I wish we had it in front of us, because it basically says, you need to change. And then it goes on to say, you actually probably need to change almost everything.
Yeah, it's
And
like,
that's a scary prospect, because, but the reality is you've probably gotten to a place where you need to change just,
yeah,
a lot of
it
things.
says you don't have to change everything, just almost everything.
Exactly.
And
And
it's true.
that's good.
And change is hard.
Change is hard, but it's
And
possible.
what do they say? The only thing that always, everything changes, or I forget how it goes, but change is the only thing that has to keep changing. Like we
Yeah.
changes, everything changes.
Yeah.
And what things that we talk about a lot as old men, like, oh, back in the 80s, the way this world has changed since I was 10 is incredible. So then if you take it back, how much the world had changed for my dad since he was 10, and then his father since he was 10.
Yeah.
Only a few generations in the world, he wouldn't even recognize it, you
Thank
know.
God. And change often comes from
Hard stuff
it
usually can
does. Yeah. I
change.
mean, we talked a bit about F1 and different changes that have happened, and it does. It often has to come to a low point before it starts moving
Right.
back up again. And that's
Someone
pretty
gets
common.
killed, all those new regulations. Someone gets, like, you know, everything's like that. You know,
Yeah.
even like when the planes, I don't know why I'm talking about 9/11 again, but when the planes exploded, a lot more security went in.
Yeah.
But it took that to
For the
happen
best.
for the changes to happen, right? So.
So yeah, so maybe as a society, instead of getting to a low point again, if there is communication, if there is open conversation, we don't have to wait for that before the change starts to happen. So
Absolutely.
yeah.
So I guess it's time to start wrapping up.
Yeah.
I wanted to start making recommendations every week of a book, of a movie, of a poem, of a song.
Yeah.
We've forgotten a few times, but we're
Yeah.
gonna try to keep doing that. So have you got a recommendation this week?
I've got a couple just my closing remarks here.
For sure.
When I wrote down judgment for today, I did write, a number of different things, and eventually I somehow got to the seven virtues, and I think that they're an important foundation for everyone to consider. Humility is the first one. Humility is a state of existence where you don't feel like you're better than anyone. That's to me that
Than
that's
anyone.
yeah.
That's the big part.
Yeah,
Anyone.
anyone.
Yeah.
We talked about Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King. They're just human beings, just like us.
Right.
They did great things.
Absolutely.
Everyone has the capacity for great things. So humility is great. Charity, the second of them. Obviously giving to others. Unconditionally and not for yourself, but to give to others. The third one is patience. Of course, patience is important. We have to be patient. Slow down, life. Take the time to appreciate all the little things. Diligence. Diligence, of course, is like nothing's going to happen overnight. It's one day at a time. Slow. Kindness. We talk about that a lot. Temperance. And actually, I have to quickly read the definition of temperance.
Yeah, because I didn't know what it meant.
Well, it's moderation or self-restraint. But when I looked it up, it says, I don't know if I got it here. It was specifically related to alcohol, which was interesting. We'll touch on it another day. Temperance, so it's moderation and self-restraint, and chastity. John and I touched on that quickly before. That is basically no extramarital sex. So that is just, that is sticking to your vows, making a vow and sticking to it. So humility, charity, patience, diligence, kindness, temperance, chastity. If you can do those things today, God bless you. My recommendation for this week is a very famous book. It's Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. He literally lived 2,000 years ago. He was surrounded by scholars and prophets and poets, and they had discussions every day, and he had discussions over the course of his life. I think he lived about 70 years, and he basically puts everything down in this book. I mean, even if you just Google like top 75 ideas from Marcus Aurelius, they're amazing. It's just if you could practice any percentage of them or one or two of them a day. I wrote down one today that I felt like really applied, and it's a statement that he made 2,000 years ago. Everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not a truth. So,
Wow.
Live your perspective, live your truth.
So that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It was hard to believe how that book is still so relevant. And
absolutely.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. My goodness. Well, because, that's a really good recommendation of a very old, important book. I'm going to go a little bit different path.
Sure.
I want to recommend an album, or whatever you call an album these days. That's a thing they used to play music on, kids. And this recommendation might, as I was thinking about it, might be mostly for men and maybe even middle-aged men. But it's an album by band Supertramp, and it's called Breakfast in America. That album to this day, I think that album saved my life at times. My favorite song is Take the Long Way Home. And, it's kind of, he's a rock star. So he's talking about, it's just hard to believe when you're up on the stage, how they adore you and you're so incredible. But then you go home and your wife just thinks you're part of the furniture, like I always took that as, and I used to feel that way. I'd be out at a furniture show and everyone's shaking hands and loving me and then we're having fun and partying, and then I come home. But, my wife is home, by herself and not getting to go to restaurants and taking care of the kids. And there's just a lot of complications in that song. And the Logical song, it's just a classic old hit, but the Logical song is all about a kid trying to be a kid and be free and live his life and be happy. And they say you grow up and you see the birds and you're happy. And then they start teaching you how to be, sensible and don't
right.
do that and don't
right.
be and be quiet and shut up
right.
and not be, because children are perfect until we make them imperfect,
yeah.
And then there's song upon song. I'm sure it's not for younger people. Their style of music is 70s music. But if you get a chance to really sit down, put some headphones on and listen to that album, I think you will I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll get something out of it.
Nice.
Still.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's episode 12 of The Chivalrous Guys. We're off on another adventure. So
absolutely.
We'll see you guys next week. And I don't know if there's anything else we Need to say, I think maybe we've said it all.
I
All
think we're
right.
good.
I'd say goodbye
Good
to
luck
the,
out there. No,
yeah.
no judgment
I
today,
guess I
people.
gotta say goodbye to the people out there. I say goodbye to you, but you know, you're sitting right beside me.
No
So,
judgment.
all right.
All
Love you
right.
guys.
Love you, Sean.
They don't need a man who's got it made, always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah. They don't want them a good man who will hold his heart out in his hand.